Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter, and joining us today is Paul Cervera, president of Golden Goliath Resources. The company trades on the TSX Venture. Ticker symbol is GNG, and over the counter is GGTHF. And Golden Goliath Resources is a Canadian-based junior exploration company with properties in Chihuahua, Mexico. Thanks for joining us today again, Paul.
Good morning, Juan. It's a pleasure to join you.
Great. Always good to have you on. Now, give us an update on the Las Bolas. Start out by giving us an update on the Las Bolas tunnel.
Well, the Golden Goliath properties are located in northwestern Mexico. It's a camp, really, rather than an individual property. And we're focusing right now on our work at the Las Bolas area. And within that area is the Las Bolas Tunnel. And it's one of many different tunnels within three different trends that we're sampling and exploring, and actually we're working on a resource calculation right at the moment. The Las Bolas Tunnel itself is about 800 meters to 1,000 meters long, and the numbers that we're working on for our resource calculation include the Station 19 area underneath in the tunnel, which is about 45 meters long and about 12.6 meters wide, and it's averaging about 3.6 grams of gold and 842 grams of silver. And then further along, another 250 meters, we come into the Station 37 area, which has excellent assays, for instance, 4.7 grams of gold and 485 grams of silver over a width of about 10 meters, and that includes an area that's 15 grams of gold and about 700 grams of silver. And that's just part of our overall resource calculation. And as I said, that's just one area that's 800 meters. The overall strike length is about over 2 kilometers or about 1.4 miles.
Right, you just extended it, right? Correct?
Yes, that's right. We just extended it in our work in the Frijolar Tunnel. As a press release we put out on July the 15th, we talk about the work in the Frijolar Tunnel, which is the next trend just south of Las Bolas, about 200 meters to the south. But very significantly, some 1,400 meters further to the east, we find more old workings, exactly the same style of mineralization, again with excellent grades up to about 1,850 grams of silver per ton and half a gram to a gram of gold per ton. So that strike length there is very, very significant, and we have every reason to believe that that mineralization continues. We need to do more infill drilling between those two, but the overall potential there is extremely good. And as we go in the other direction from the Las Bolas Tunnel and downhill, we get to the El Manto Zone, and we're getting excellent grades down there as well in the sulfide-type mineralization. We get assays from drill cores as high as 9.5 grams of gold and 3,000 grams of silver. And lately we've even extended it further to the west, where we're getting numbers like 2.1 grams of gold and 27 grams of silver. So the overall potential there just at Las Bolas is very, very good. And again, Las Bolas is just one of several different deposits within the Uruwachi camp, which is a 25 by 15 kilometer area.
Great. Now, in regards to Frijolar 2, you also talk to us about the release before about the sampling.
No. Yeah, well, the underground sampling, the resource calculation that's being done is going to include the drill holes that we've done throughout this area. And really, there's only about 8,600 meters of drilling in this particular area, and that's small, so this is only a preliminary resource calculation. But Frijolar Tunnel contained about 536 grams of silver and 726 grams of silver over 4.19 meters and 536 over 1.7. But the overall width there was 43 meters that averaged 281 grams of silver over an average mining width of about 2.5 meters.
Great. Now, what are... talk about some of the things now, or before we move on, is there any other updates on any other properties that you wanted to discuss?
Well, about 6 kilometers to the north on our San Timoteo property, and that's going to be the focus of the next resource calculation. We've been rehabilitating one of the old tunnels there called San Martin. And in San Martin, we have one zone where you get 20 meters of 5.96 grams of gold with 1,545 grams of silver, and another area where we get 141 grams of silver over 10 meters along with 6.7 grams of gold. And this is a tunnel that's about 500 meters long, and we need to go back in there and do underground drilling and follow those high-grade zones at depth. So that there's sort of two main areas that we're working right now. But overall in the camp, there's about five or six different areas. And Uruwachi Camp is really strategically located in the middle of a whole bunch of other recent deposits that have done resource calculations. Some of them are being put into production soon. One of those is the Pinos Altos Gold Project by Agnico Eagle. They've got about 2.2 million ounces of gold and 65 million ounces of silver. And that's only about 45 kilometers away from Uruwachi. And what's significant is Agnico Eagle is a large shareholder. They own about 8.8% of the stock of Golden Goliath, and they're also on our board of directors. And other properties in the area, we have the Ocampo deposit, the Palmarejo deposit, the San Miguel deposit, all with very substantial reserves, and again, within 20 to 30 kilometers of Uruwachi. And most recently, we found out about a deposit called Orisivo, which is owned by Fresnillo, a Mexican company. And it looks like they have about 6 million ounces of gold there based upon 66,000 meters of drilling. And that's only about 7 kilometers away from our property. So we're right in the middle of a big hot spot, and I believe we're going to be the next discovery in that area.
Sounds good. And so in terms of, now you guys control the entire district or the mining camp. What are some of the things that differentiate the Golden Goliath from other junior exploration companies?
Well, the big thing is that we have a district rather than an individual property, so we're hoping to find several new mines rather than just one. And also, we own all of those properties 100%. They're fully paid for. So we have the ability to bring in other people to do joint venture and option agreements on those properties, and we're doing that right now with one of the properties called Corona, which is in the northwest part of the Uruwachi camp, and we have another company in there called Comstock Resources, and they are doing their work to go public on that property, and they have an option to earn 60% from us, so they're spending their money to develop our project.
Good. And so what are some of the challenges right now? Can you talk about some of the general challenges that are, you know, that not, you know, just in the market, but also that your company specifically are facing right now? What are some of your specific strategies for overcoming them?
Well, you know, right now the metal prices, gold and silver prices, are very good, and the upside potential is excellent for those. The market is still quiet. There's still a lot of fear out there. There's not a lot of people investing in junior resource companies at the moment, but there are. That number is slowly growing. It's a little bit difficult to do financings, but because we have people like Agnico Eagle as a major shareholder, and actually our largest shareholder is Sprott Asset Management from Toronto, and they own about 15% of our stock. That makes it easier for us to go out and raise money because the fund managers and the financiers, they have those people to refer to as basically doing their due diligence for them. So we have a big advantage in credibility by having those type of people as major shareholders and directors.
Sure, certainly. And so how well positioned is Golden Goliath to capitalize on some of the trends in the market?
Well, I think we're well positioned. There's a lot of news coming out of that particular area of Mexico, which is really one of the best areas in the world to be exploring for gold and silver. And as the market shifts and as the gold and silver
prices... historically, you know, Sierra Madre and, you know...
Yeah, that's right. Historically, the Sierra Madre has produced, 50 million ounces of gold and maybe 1 or 2 billion ounces of silver since the time of the Spaniards. It's really a hot spot, and we're lucky that the Uruwachi camp has good road access. It has hydropower. It has a workforce that's very much in favor of what we're doing. The local people want us to discover a mine. We're their biggest employer at the moment, and so we get along very well with them. So that all adds to the future feasibility of what we hope to do.
Yeah, it's very important to have that key relationship with the citizens of where you're exploring, and you know a lot of people I guess take it for granted and don't really realize how important it really is.
Absolutely, and you know the Uruwachi, the town itself of Uruwachi, was discovered founded in 1735 by two Spaniards, and there's probably 100 old gold and silver mines in the Uruwachi camp that operated between 1735. And they all ended production around the time of the Mexican Revolution, 1925. And we're the first company to go back and acquire all that land and start to do modern exploration on the old workings and in the surrounding areas.
Good. Now, Paul, we've talked several times. I've done a few interviews with you in the past. But can you walk us through your background and experience as well as that of some of the key management at Golden Goliath, just for some of our investors here that are new to learning about Golden Goliath?
Sure. I'm the president and founder of the company, and I completed my master's degree in geology in 1979 in the University of Toronto. That my master's thesis was on a caldera in northern Canada. Caldera is a collapsed volcano, essentially. And caldera environments are very good for looking for gold and silver mineralization. And upon graduation, I was hired by Cominco Limited to do caldera reconnaissance work for them. And at the end of 1979, I was transferred to Mexico to their Guadalajara office to study calderas in the state of Durango in the southern end of that Sierra Madre mountain range. And I spent a better part of 2 years down there doing that, and my eyes were really opened as to the great potential in the Sierra Madres for gold and silver, and specifically looking for calderas. And, I knew that I would come back someday on my own behalf in the Sierra Madres, but the foreign investment laws didn't change there until 1992. Prior to that, I'd become friends with the Mexican ambassador to Canada and had a lot of good contacts in Mexico. The ambassador went back into the private sector and became my lawyer in Mexico, and I kind of knew in December of 91 that the foreign investment laws were about to change, and they changed in February of 92, and that the same week that they changed, I was on a plane, I went to Mexico, I had the ambassador's law firm create a private company for me so I could start to acquire claims 100% in Mexico, and then I brought in a Mexican geologist partner by the name of Daniel Nofrieta, and he had about 30 years of experience in the northern end of the Sierra Madres. And I told him about my work in Durango and calderas and that I wanted to find similar kind of targets in the northern end of the Sierra Madres. And he immediately talked to me about the town of Uruwachi, which is a caldera setting that has very large alteration zones. And he told me that no foreign companies had been in there yet, and the local mining companies had not really been there. And he had a prospector friend who was born and raised in the town. So literally within 10 days of the foreign investment laws changing, I was in the town of Uruwachi, and I hired the prospector who's still working for us today. And Danielle and I and Oswaldo, the prospector, worked for 8 years privately putting the land package together before we went public. And we did that on our own money, and there's not a lot of presidents of junior mining companies that have that kind of dedication to get themselves going. And apart from Danielle and I, pardon me?
No, I was just saying it certainly speaks volumes.
Yeah, we certainly believe in what we're doing. You know, it wasn't just we optioned a property from somebody and we're out to promote it. You know, we're out to find mines, gold and silver mines there, and that's our goal, and we expect to achieve them. We also have Stephen Pierce on our board of directors, and Stephen is a very helpful man. He's both a lawyer and an accountant, but he's also part geologist. And the three of us, Danielle, Stephen, we're sort of the day-to-day management team. But our board of directors is very strong, and it includes, as I said, Agnico Eagle. Mark Legault is the vice president of project development with Agnico, and he's been on our board for several years. And prior to him, actually, the president of Agnico Eagle, Sean Boyd, was on board. But he really wanted Mark to be there instead of him because Mark is a geologist and Sean is an accountant. We have other people like Andrew McGregor Robertson, a very famous consultant, a geological consultant, and we have Mr. Richard Hughes. And Mr. Richard Hughes was the president of two companies who back in the 80s were part of the discovery of the Hemlo Mines. He was the president of Goliath Gold Mines and Golden Scepter Resources. Both of those companies went from 25 cents to about $90 a share. And that's where we got the name Golden Goliath. Richard suggested we take one word from each of those names, and people will associate us with the success that they had in Hemlo, and certainly that happened. So And our board is rounded out by businessmen and financial people. So we have a very, very strong board, very, very strong property package, and we're in an excellent position to make a discovery.
Great. Sounds like a very eclectic team, and it was a great story. Now, what specific milestones has the management team set for the company over the course of the next year?
Well, first milestone is to complete this resource calculation. We're actually expecting to get the first draft of that any time now. The independent consultant that's doing it says we actually thought we'd have it about a week ago, but we're still waiting for that. And then the next step from there is to do more underground and surface drilling to expand that resource calculation and to move more of the numbers from the inferred to the probable or measured and indicated categories. And then the next step after that will be more surface exploration to extend that total strike length to the west and to the east. And then a third one would be to move back up into the San Timoteo area and start to do underground drilling and eventually a resource calculation in that area as well.
Good. And in terms of investors, Paul, do you think that investors are understand the general direction of the company?
I'm not sure. You know, certainly the investors that I talk to do. I don't know if a brand new investor might or not. I think one of the key things for somebody considering investing in Gold and Goliath Resources is to keep in mind that, you know, we have great potential, and that's why Agnico Eagle is on the board. And with their deposit going into production 45 kilometers away, they're going to need eventually more mineral, more ore to feed their process, their mills. And so we become a very likely takeover candidate down the road. So anything could happen with Gold and Goliath, and it could happen quickly.
Great. Now, and once again joining us today is Paul Serbaro, president and founder of Gold and Goliath Resources. And the company trades on the TSX Venture, and the ticker symbol is GNG. And over the counter, the ticker symbol is GGTHF. And it's currently trading at 11 cents a share. And before we conclude, Paul, what are some of the other key reasons why investors should consider Gold and Goliath Resources as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, I think there the most important thing is the upside potential for the gold and silver price, and the fact that our properties are all dealing with areas that have been in production before. So it's not as if we're looking to find if there's any gold and silver there. We're looking to find, you know, how much is still there. And so the odds of us, you know, they say the best place to look for a new mine is near an old mine, and we're surrounded literally by old mines. And I'd also like to point out that our website is www.goldandgoliath.com, and the contact numbers are there, and I'm always happy to answer questions from anybody that wants to call me and talk about it.
Well, yeah, great. And, you know, we've always been able to, to contact you. The management team is very open. We can always contact you directly. And it's certainly always good to have you on. And we look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and to continue reporting on your progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us again today and to update our investors.
Well, thank you very much, Juan. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.